welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, with all the hopes of top four and Champions League football all but maybe evaporated with the two results on Thursday and Sunday, it looks like we'll be just hoping that we can still hold on to European football for next season. This week I have Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter, Eric Hanlon, Ben and Conor O'Keefe with me to discuss the two games over the last week. Hope you enjoy it.
How are things, lads? Good evening. All good?
Hello, good evening, Tony.
How are you doing, Tony? Yeah, all good, thank you.
Good stuff. Just, I suppose, to starting off on last Thursday night, the Arsenal game, I suppose the lineup really was a bit of a surprise. I thought, anyway, that Ndonker wasn't in. He kind of went with a very open sort of team, I think.
Yeah, I know other people thought that, but I totally disagree with that. I think probably Wolves' fate was sealed last Monday night when I predicted they'd win. But I felt that what I did say was that Bruno has a good habit of turning things around, right? So
yeah.
Having lost to Arsenal, I felt that he would learn from that and he would pick a side that would win the game. Right. And I must say, for the first half, I thought he absolutely got it spot on. I mean, Ndonka didn't play. Ndonka played the first one at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, literally we got nothing out of it. He dropped him. And Wang came in. Wang got the goal. And, you know, I felt that he was justified in what he did. So, yeah, obviously, wheels came off at half time, but. Yeah. I don't think anyone would have saved us at that point.
Yeah, I'd have thought in the first half we were very open. I mean, I think Arsenal had a few chances. I know Saïss had one disallowed early on, and then we got Arsenal gifted us the goal. But I thought they had a few chances the other end as well. I think I thought we were a bit up. Mick, what were your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that, he got it completely wrong. And I say it, the previous two games, I've said it, and I'm saying it all season, best setup is five in the middle. In the previous two games against Leicester and Spurs, that's where we played.
Yeah.
You have Ndonka, you have Moutinho, or we didn't have Moutinho in Spurs, we had the young fella, and we had, he was quite similar to Moutinho, and you had Neves, and then you had the wide man. And it's actually, in those two games, we created a lot of chances, we got a number of goals.
Yeah.
I thought Pedence was coming. It's a system that suits Daniel Pedence at number 10.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the statistics, we have only lost two games up till Sunday. We'd only lost two games when Leander Ndonka started this season. We only lost two games. Now, that tells you a lot. Now, we played so well in those two games. We started to create chances. Why in the name of Jesus did we change it to play three up front? Now, the problem of the team for us was, Arsenal were always going to be strong in the midfield, pace-wise.
Yeah.
And in the second, the problem, we were being overrun in the middle with the system he was playing. Yeah. We played three in the middle instead of five against Arsenal. And they absolutely ran us out in the second half. That's my taking on it. Now, Ndonka was involved in the previous four goals in the previous two games, and how in the name of God could you fucking drop him?
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's my take. Now, as for Sunday game, I'll just switch that fairly quickly. Now, it was the manner and the way we got beaten on Thursday had a lot to do with on Sunday. It must have been gut wrenching. To lose the game like that. And I ain't running it down, but he has made some major mistakes. But I thought picking that team on Thursday night against Arsenal was an absolute, I could not believe it. And that's my take on it, you know?
Yeah. I tend to agree with you.
Sorry, Tony, carry on.
Go, Gary, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but how do you explain what happened at home to Arsenal then?
In the game at home again, we were very unlucky not to lose that game.
Sorry, make the difference
we
at the home.
We were last Thursday night.
We were at halftime. At halftime against Arsenal, we had the win in the game last Thursday night from the side that he had picked.
Yeah, the difference, Gary, in the home game was we had Ndonka was playing, but we went a goal down after 20 minutes, and we were chasing the game. They were sitting back. The game on Thursday was much more open, but we were as open as they were in a lot of it, because we only had Moutinho, Neves in midfield, and we didn't have Dendonker there. I mean, Dendonker took a few games. Like, still gets a lot of criticism, but I mean, in the last four or five games when he started, he's got a pattern and a system for himself to play. He's familiar with what he's supposed to do, and he's doing it, and he's improved and improved every game. And I was surprised on Thursday when I saw the team that he wasn't in it, because, you know, Arsenal have a lot of quick, they've Nketiah, they've Saka, they've three or four guys there that can run you know.
Yeah. They gave them a lot of chances. Just come in there, Tony. I think we were all surprised with that he didn't play Dendonker, you know. Now, to be fair, Jesus, we created some good chances against Arsenal. And, you know, as Gary said there, at halftime, I was happy enough. Now, obviously, you know, to play the three boys up front, But to be fair, we had done all right, and we had created some really good chances. Yeah. Now, in the second half, I thought Moutinho was just not fit, and obviously he dropped up for Sunday. But when we started to get overrun, he should have changed it then. Whether he's inclined to wait way too long. He should have changed it then. But as Mick said, it might have been too late at that stage. But the thing about Tony and the huge difference between the two games, and obviously I was at the game on Sunday, but against Arsenal, we created chances. Okay, Arsenal played very, very well, you know. Mm. And I just felt if he was going to target a game of one of them, Jesus, it had to be the West Ham game. You know, now I don't know if lads were carrying injuries or whatever, but, you know, Arsenal was a game, if feckin' Jimenez had scored, we were 2-0 up. And Jesus, then it's a totally different game. You know that way, but anyway, that was my thought on the Thursday game anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just on, I suppose, the Semedo injury kind of probably changed what his ideas were for making changes, because he was forced into making that change, you know, and it kind of disrupted things for us.
Semedo definitely was when he got injured, that was a huge loss for us, because he had been playing fantastic for us. I would have thought that he would have brought in either the Brazilian lad or the defender. Brought him in
Toti, was it?
Gomez.
I would have thought he would have brought, because the young fella, he's just not fit enough at the minute. I thought he would have brought him in on the right-hand side and still gone with but look it. I do agree. Up to half-time in the game, it was even, Stephen, but the problem were we were wide open against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And they absolutely took us to the cleaners in the second half.
Yeah.
And we did have chances, definitely could have had chances, but the problem was we were too open.
Yeah.
And then to give away the goal right in the 95th minute, it's actually soul destroying.
Yeah, yeah. I think that probably had an effect for Sunday. But the one thing I wanted to talk about is it's like fine margins, and I mean, you know, you can't get through a game without mentioning VAR. I mean, the decision of the referee to give that free to Arsenal when Cody was clean through and not just let it run through its course, and then it turned out. I only showed a replay once on the channel I was watching it on, whatever. And you never touched them. So I mean, do you think that was a kind of sign that we were going to be under a lot of pressure from then on in the game?
I just thought it was wide open. That's all. I just thought that they were coming through the middle. And we had no one there to combat it. And then, to bring him on in the last couple of minutes of the game, it did not make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I did notice there, one of the lads made a comment, I think it was Paul O'Toole, made a comment on Facebook there after Thursday's game, and he said, I think the last three goals we conceded, the two against Arsenal and the one against Leicester, had come down our left. And I think we saw in the Leicester game that there were they had two or three chances from getting down that side and crossing it, and getting between Sice and Aitnouri. And maybe that's why on Sunday then he put in Marcel to be a bit more defensive. But I thought the Arsenal game, as we're saying, that you would have been looking for a tight game there and get a result, and then West Ham would have been the game we'd go all out for. But
I actually think that's five in the middle. You know, with the two wide men, it suits Daniel Padan's down to the ground.
Yeah.
And he's getting more into the game. And we created again, Leicester and what they call it, against Spurs, we were creating some great chances. There's one, but he was 11-man move. And you don't just throw the hall out and change the system. If you're going to go with three up front, you're going to leave yourself weak elsewhere. And again, Arsenal, and they tore us apart second half.
Did we not against Spurs make play three up front? Was it not Trincao?
They may have gone out like that, but basically what they were playing was five in the middle.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
The way we play it, you know what I mean?
But that was breaking from the middle. When you have the five in the middle, the beauty is you can come from deep, whether it was the Ndonka, whether it's Pedanji, you're coming deep, yeah, and they're very, very hard to pick you up. But you put three fellas up front, it means you're not really running at them. And you're asking the likes of the lads in the middle to do an awful lot more running.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. But I was furious when I see the team. We've got the second goal. We might have done it, but it's still, you don't mess around with a team, but it's starting to play well.
Didn't happen anyway, yeah. Moving on to Sunday now, Eric and Connor and Ben were our three representatives. Gary, you were there as well, of course. On Sunday. So Ben, how are you? Did you have a good trip over to London for the game on Sunday?
Oh yeah, it was great crack. Sure, it's always great to go out and get to see Wolves.
Yeah, is that your first away game, Ben?
That is not quite my first away game. I went to a Stoke game back in 2012 at the Britannia, where, funnily enough, we lost 2-1.
I was just going to say,
Michael Keightley scored the goal for Wolves.
Yeah, so you haven't seen his win on the road, so we won't give him. Eric still has the solid jinx chain around his neck.
Thanks,
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time.
Thanks very much.
That.
Yeah, take a while. Yeah, to lose that. Yeah,
Eric,
haven't seen a score yet, Tony. That's go on.
Oh, gee, here, don't make it worse.
I know,
but
don't tell anyone. Go on.
Do you have a good trip over to the game on Sunday? Yeah,
I did, Tony. I booked on Saturday when it was a Saturday fixture, because I had the brother there. So, you know, it's a day on the beer with him on the Saturdays. It turned out, and beer and curry and stuff like that. But yeah, it was lovely meeting up with the lads again, you know.
Yeah.
And I bought a t-shirt there this morning, Tony, and I said, I survived a night out with Christy, you know. But I'll tell you what, the Dudley Mafia have met their match in Christy. My jeez.
Yeah. He's a Duracell bunny, yeah. We met him one night after the game, all right, yeah, in McGee's all that. And there was no stopping. Yeah. He was searching Wolverhampton for somewhere that half.
Oh, Jesus, he was the same. But anyway, yeah, no, it was a good trip. Look, it was great. It was great to meet up with the lads and, you know, meeting Connor and the boys and Ben and that, you know. And we did a good little bit of crack before the match. We're in Witherspoons in Liverpool Street. And the day was good. Now, performance was disappointing, Tony. You know, I'm sure we'll get on to that. I think we were all just, when we saw the team lineup, we went, Jesus, what in the name of God is he at? I had just presumed that Pudence and Aid Nouri were injured.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't believe, Jesus, they were on the bench, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing, Tony, I suppose, we didn't lay a glove in West Ham. And that was the really, really disappointing bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? We didn't lay a glove on them at all, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
So just, I'll ask Ben and Connor for their thoughts on the atmosphere. What was the atmosphere like in West Ham when you arrived from the ground?
No, the atmosphere was fairly good now. To be fair, it got poor at points, but
yeah.
From my experience, I thought it was a good one anyway. The West Ham fans are fairly quiet now, I have to say. But poor Kurt Zuma was getting awful shtick throughout the whole game.
What, were they making noises or what? Or were they just abusing them?
Everything you could imagine. And they managed to get in blow-up cats into them, so they were throwing them around the place.
I'd say that was good fun, aren't we? But
there was one incident when do you remember right down on his own goal line, just one side of the post? Someone flattened Zuma.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it Silva or someone, but it, right on the end line, and he was, you know, he had to get attention, and he was down for a minute or two. But the Wolves fans were singing, that's how your cat feels.
Ah, lovely, lovely stuff.
But
yeah, that was a good one, yeah.
But just then, Ben, while you're in Talkative Farm, what were your feelings overall on the game itself?
Well, I'd be the same as yourselves. When I first saw the team lineup, I didn't think much of it. I thought it was fairly poor, especially to see those players on the bench.
Yeah,
that they were available still. I don't think Hoover was the right choice at all to play him in.
Yeah.
Very poor. I think the young fella that we signed in the window, Chiquinho, could have been a decent shout to try him out at that right wing back role.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm not sure if you saw, but last night the under-23s were playing Reading. And yeah. He got himself an assist in that game as well.
Yeah.
So I think he should have gotten at least a try at it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. He seems to have, he got on a couple of games there, about 3 or 4 games ago. He got on for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and he hasn't featured really in the last couple of games, I don't think, has he?
No, don't.
Yeah, that's a pity.
Yeah, both him and the other chap, what they call it, Gomez, the one thing they have, they're good defenders, but they've got good pace.
And pace,
and they're
yeah.
good passers. So, like the same as Ben said, I definitely agree there. I thought he would have started with one of those and brought the Donka into the middle of the park and gone with Pedance. But to drop them, it just didn't make sense. Unless they were suffering badly after the game on Thursday night, because we did not have a lot of time for recovery. Which, I got back then, if that was the case, then you put runners in, and we didn't do that, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I suppose, realistically, we all have our own ideas of who should be playing and why fellas should be playing or shouldn't be playing, but I suppose, at the end of the day, Bruno and his team are the ones that are watching them 24 hours a day, and they're monitoring them, and they know they probably just felt that they weren't. Though I think he seems to be very willing to make changes just to see how they work. In a lot of games. Gary, what were your thoughts on the game overall?
Well, on the lineup, when I heard it, I was surprised, but it didn't take long to kind of figure out that presumably it was purely based on rotation and, you know, the recovery period from the Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's on that basis, there was a kind of a decent case to actually make bring back a number of those players at half time, even.
Yeah.
Do you know, not. Mm. A rest of a half a game was enough. You know, if it was a rest that they were getting, then half a game was enough, because we just didn't put them under enough pressure. Like,
yeah,
I thought we had a very good 15, 20 minutes opening. And then I suppose they came into the game more then. But if you remember, we had a really, really good chance just on the stroke of half time. Wang, he was kind of where we were standing. You were standing behind his back, so you could see what he was doing.
Yeah.
And having said that, we were the other end of the ground, but it looked like he was side-footing it into the net, like.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Now, it could have gone from that distance, and I haven't seen it since, it could have gone 2 yards wide, I don't know, but it was a really good chance to go in at half-time 1-0.
Yeah.
Up,
yeah.
Yeah, know? No, I watched it after. I was standing beside Gary when that, and when he came on, we said, goal, you know, but even looking at it again, Gary, it was a really good thing. He wasn't that far out. Now there was one or two guys on the line, but a well-directed thing. He hit it okay, but it just sort of skewed off to the right. It wasn't that far wide either. It was probably about a yard wide, but he was only about 8 yards out, you know? So, and like that would have changed the game, you know? It would have totally changed the game, you know? But as Gary said, we had a good opening 15 minutes, and then they just got on top of us then. And we didn't seem to have another plan, you know, that way.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be, you know, when the ball's gone through, you know, Silva, I don't think Silva's great, lads. I don't, he just couldn't hold the freaking ball. And like Trincao is tricky and he does, but Jesus, he's never going to score a goal for us, you know.
No, I think he's very
light. So he's very light.
But listen, lads, we had no metal in the middle of the park. They were powerful. They were stronger than we were. We went and put, what to call him, Marcel on. And he's not fit enough at the moment. And unless Aiden Early was injured, he should have been in there. Because that's the sort of player would pull West Ham apart. And the same on the far side. But the problem to me, the reason I give them the benefit of the doubt, I don't know how drained those fellas were. But as Gary says, that you think you give them a half an hour, but you've made too many changes before kickoff for to do that. Do you know what I mean? You could have left two or three of them out and bring them in at half time. But the fact is, we needed to bring in four or five at half time to make any of it. We gave them the upper hand, but you know, they come along and what was left? There was only a couple of minutes left, and he brought then Donkey.
That's what I was going to say, on the substitutions. I mean, I think I think it was about 75, 76 minutes before the first one was made. I looking up today, and like Jimenez was the 84th or second minute, I think. So, I mean, do you think that like he should have made changes sooner? I think when they scored, he was bringing on Podence. But you know, do you think he should have brought changes? Because it was very flat again. Gary, do you think he should have made changes earlier?
Yeah, I thought that there was a good case to make the changes at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, it was clear that we weren't really making any headway, you know, despite Huang missing that chance. I did think early on that Silva had held up a few balls and took it under control and laid it off. But overall, it wasn't. I thought Kilman had one of his shakiest games for a while, and I thought there was definitely room for a manoeuvre at halftime. I would have thought that was the time to do it. In fact, you know, because you're like a different team for this, you know, for 45 minutes for half the game.
I think Kilman's been under a bit of pressure. I think in the last.
You're fairly right there, Gary. But Kilman, like it's 4 yards here was not the fastest, but the problem was. The other chap beside him was slow, and they tagged us, and they were getting in there big time, and that's why Kilman was shaky. They were able to come in at that side. There's no doubt about it. And that, but I thought Silva was our man of the match. I thought he was excellent when he started to get the ball knocked up to him in the second half. There, he was sticking, but he didn't have a lot to happen. And I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him and Patance together, because both of them are. I think that there's a great partnership there at the minute. Yeah. Now, Raul is a little bit off colour at the moment, but I thought he was probably the best player throughout the game. He gave it what he could, but there was not much backup.
Yeah,
I think what it shows, lads, really overall, is our sort of lack of firepower. As Mick was saying there, Jimenez has definitely gone off the boil. You know, he's just not getting into those positions. He's coming deeper. You know, like he was. Like, in fairness, Jimenez was scoring goals against Man City, Liverpool. You know what I mean? When he was in his pump.
Yeah.
But now, it's like his balance has been affected or somebody. He's definitely not getting into the positions in the box where he was a real threat before, you know. But you look.
No, and even even the substitutions the other night and, like, what he did against City, you know, there's a couple of odd things he's been doing, in games as well.
Yes,
so,
absolutely, yeah.
But
absolutely.
I suppose and just it, to... To kind of something to finish on, like there were two huge games which were going to have a big impact on our season. Like two wins, we'd have been flying, 4 points, we'd still be maybe not flying as high, but still flying. But two defeats were something that could completely change our outlook on the season. Ben, Connor, I'll ask you, where are we heading now for the rest of the season, do you think? Where would you be looking at?
I think it's going to be tough now. To be honest, I think we really needed that win against West Ham. It would have put us ahead of them.
Yeah.
And obviously stopped them getting the points as well, which is even more important.
Yeah.
And I feel like Champions League is just out of the picture now, completely.
Yeah.
Not sure if it was ever really in the picture, but it'd be a nice idea to have. I still think there's a chance of us getting into the Europa League qualification, especially with Liverpool winning the Cup of the weekend. That pushes that Europa League qualification spot down the rank.
Yeah,
definitely think there's a chance of Europa League there, and if all comes to worst, there still might be a chance of that new lower league, the conference league, as an option.
Yeah, and will you be over in a game, do you think, between now and the end?
We'll have to see. Might be later on the season, but not too sure at the moment.
Yeah, just be nice to that guy beside you there. Yeah,
step in there, Tony. I'll step in there now if you don't mind. He might go again before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try and work him in for a game, Connor.
We'll do our best.
Work him in for a game, yeah.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll have to. Yeah. A surprise, but it's too late now.
You know, job the one day in case he misses any more school.
Oh, yeah, that's a very important. So, Eric,
can I just... I haven't much to add to tonight's conversation, but I don't know, did anybody else notice it? I felt that half when we were pressing and Neves was spraying the ball left and right, kind of from a little bit outside their box. At early on, before Neto came on, it was all going out to Hoover. And every time he went out to Hoover, he looked like he didn't want the ball to come to him.
Yeah.
Neto came on then and he started using Neto's side. And next thing, all of it, even though Hoover was in loads and loads of space, Neves wasn't passing to him. He just looked like almost, he was standing out there on his own. Nobody anywhere near him. And it was almost like he's going past this ball to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, did anybody else feel that? But I definitely...
I didn't really notice. I did notice a couple of balls he did get. And he didn't, there was one up just on the right-hand side of their box. And he actually, I don't know what he did when the ball came to him, but he miscontrolled. He looks like he wasn't looking at it and the ball slipped off his foot and he had to go after it. Like, as if it just his concentration wasn't there, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, his confidence might be a bit low.
He looked frightened.
Yeah.
He looked scared. I don't know. Well, maybe I'm picking the ball wrong.
No, I tell you, the problem is, Connor, the kid is not playing much football.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And he is a big frame, and he's a sort of one of those players, in my opinion. He needs to be playing a couple of games regularly to get the best out of him.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a decent player, but he needs a couple of number of games, and I think that was the problem, you know?
Yeah.
And plus West Ham were hammered in that side between him and Kilman, and that, you know, but that's, you know...
Yeah, but that's where...
One of the things I went away, one of the few positives were that I just thought Neto's, I said to myself, he's looking like, you know, he probably needs to come on as a sub a few times, but I just thought he'd a little bit of that swagger, you know, that Neto had.
Yeah.
You know, and I was saying to him, even though he was only off the few minutes, and, you know, because the was it the Arsenal game he kind of, and, you know, it was one of those really games were very hard to get into, but in fairness, I thought... He looked good on the ball against West Ham. And he just, I'm saying, please God, this fella isn't too far away. You know that way, Tony. You know, that was probably the big positive of the day for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, so, well, at least, please God, we have somebody like Neto coming back, you know?
Yeah. But you were saying earlier on, like Johnny would have ideally, you know, 10 minutes somewhere. But I'd say, I don't know whether Bruno, do you think Bruno panicked on Thursday, or just had Johnny as the next man, the best man to come in.
Johnny to me is a bit off pace at the minute. Yeah. I agree what Eric said about Neto. Neto is well up in the game. You know, he's close enough there.
Yeah.
But I think Johnny needs it. He's been out nearly 2 years altogether.
Yeah.
But he needs a couple of games to get into it. That would be my thinking. But I do think we do have ample. Like I nearly, and I think talking even about the two lads who were talking about, the Gomez and the other lad at the back, and even Mascarada, them fellas have pace.
Yeah.
They can tackle.
Yeah.
And they're good in the air. And I think they need to be brought in, because the way I look at it at the moment is that we certainly won't be near the top four. There's no chance to wait those results.
No.
It might have an outside chance of getting into the Europa, but what he should be doing is bringing those fellas and giving them a bit of game.
Yeah.
Game time, you know what I mean?
I think he will.
I think, in fairness, as Mick said about Johnny, look, 2 years a hell of, and to be thrown in against Arsenal in a really high tempo game. And in fairness, he was on his wrong side, so he was completely, whatever about the fitness, he was completely lost. That's what I thought of night.
Yeah,
and that,
yeah.
You know, when Arsenal, in fairness, Arsenal were getting on top, and the midfield, like, you know, what's his name? Moutinho, again, he wasn't fit. Johnny wasn't fit. Neto, you know, so you're playing nearly with sort of three men down in a really fast, high-tempo game.
Yeah.
And to be fair, lads, you know, the 95th minute, when you think about it, a point would have been a great result that night, on the night, given everything that happened. Yeah.
And it was
it would have been a fantastic result.
Yeah,
and Sa's
hand actually put the ball into the net as it turned out.
Oh, But, no, it looked like there was a kid coming in the far side. Yes, put it in, but you just don't know, Johnny.
Yeah, Saka, I think, was on the far post,
If he hadn't touched it, it wasn't going into the net. But anyway, sure, look,
it's gone anyway. So, lads, I think we'll wrap it up now. I'll ask the other lads in future podcasts about their views for the rest of the season. But I suppose it's on to Palace on Saturday, and hopefully we'll get a good win out of that. So listen,
hopefully so. Yeah.
Been great talking to you all. Thanks, Eric, Ben, Connor, Mick, Gary. Thanks a million.
You're welcome, Tony.
And Tony. We'll see some of you Saturday.
See you, lads. Right. Take care.
Cheers.
Right.
Nice to see you all again. Take care.
See you. Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.